Psalm 129, verse 3, the ploughers ploughed on my back, they made their furrows long. Now, made long is a term usually used in the sense of prolonging a period of time. I think this was relevant to the exiles. They thought that they'd been in captivity for 70 years, and so the righteous remnant who actually wanted to return, most of them didn't want to return, they were complaining that the furrows of our whipping, of our scourging, have been made long. And this was the mentality, I think, that Ezekiel often had to encounter. As you see, he was there with the exiles. And yet, of course, the extension of the furrows, as it were, it was because of their impenitence, not because of God's desire to make them suffer. So the ploughers ploughing on the back of Israel, this is very much the language of scourging. And Israel are therefore presented as the suffering servant. When you come to Isaiah, who is also prophesying about the exiles, the suffering servant is both Israel primarily, and then you see it's clearly the Lord Jesus. By his stripes, that is, his scourgings, the ploughings on his back, by his stripes we are healed, saved. Isaiah 53, verse 5. So Israel were the suffering servant, and yet they did not repent, and they were not the servant as God intended. And so those prophecies became applicable to the Lord Jesus. And so all that was true of Israel in their suffering became true of Jesus. For example, he was given gall to drink. That was one of the punishments for Israel's sin. He, on the cross, was Israel under condemnation. He was God's people. He was their and our representative. You see this with Moses. He was Israel's representative in that he was not allowed to go into the land. Neither were they for their sins. And so he suffered, as it were, as their representative. It's why so often, talking about his exclusion from the land, he says that I'm not allowed to enter into the land for your sakes. And that is repeated, not just in the commentary upon him in Deuteronomy, but also later on in the Psalms, that this happened to Moses for their sakes. Now, I know that he was guilty of what he did, hitting the rock instead of speaking to it, etc. He spoke inadvisedly with his lips, the psalm says. But in the bigger picture, he was their representative. He had said to God up Sinai, well, okay, take my name out of the book that you've written and let them go in. And God says, no, I will only take out of my book those who have sinned. So God was saying that he didn't accept substitution. That is somebody saying, okay, well, I won't be in the kingdom so that he can be, or they can be. But rather he works through representation. And that is true of the suffering of the Lord Jesus, that he was our representative. We deserve condemnation. He took that condemnation, although he was innocent, because he was our representative. And therefore, and thereby, we can, through baptism into him, become in him. And all that's true of him becomes true of us. We become his representatives in this world as he is our representative and was our representative in his death. He took that condemnation. And yet, of course, as we know, he had done no sin, and so therefore the grave could not hold him, and he was resurrected. And likewise we will be. It's really wonderful how this works out. And Paul in Romans 1-8 glories in this as the wonder of the gospel, that we who are sinners and should be condemned are justified as righteous, are counted righteous, without impugning God's ethics, moral integrity at all. It's all in a beautiful way, and it's all based on this principle of representation. And that's what you see here in this psalm, that the ploughers ploughed upon Israel's back. They were, as it were, whipped in captivity for their sins. But Jesus, Isaiah 53, was the suffering servant, and by his stripes we are healed. And so I urge people to get baptized into Jesus, to lay their hand, as it were, upon his head, as people laid their hands on the head of the animal which they slew in the Old Testament times, and that we should abide in him, continue that representation, that willing identification with him. You do that through the breaking of bread, again associating yourself with his death, his bread, his body, his wine, his cup, his life, his blood, and also, of course, especially by abiding in him, as John would put it, life lived in him and for him as him.